Operations Committee will come to order for the afternoon. Apologize for the late start. We got through more bills than I thought we would get through, and we just needed to adjust the agenda to go back to doing some work that we started this morning. But first, we will have a roll call, please.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Here, present.
Congressman Maker? Congresswoman Pratt? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present. All right, declare we have a quorum. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Pratt, would you give us a prayer, please? Next item on the agenda is approval of amendments. We have minutes from this morning. Congratulations to the clerk. Very impressive. You must have eaten your pizza at your desk for lunch.
Holiday Inn Express last night.
Okay, let's look at these closely to make sure they're right, because this is what.
I have a question.
Yes.
Am I just missing? I thought we moved ONCA 1925 out with the due pass recommendation, and either I'm missing it or we didn't do that, one of the two.
We did move it out. Take that pizza back. Okay. So there should have been a motion to report. Do you have that information, Dana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do have the information.
All right. So let's postpone the approval of the minutes of this morning until later in the meeting if we have time, because I want to get to Mr. Byers, who's been here for quite a period of time. So
sure.
That objection will move on to, we have no reports or financials to consider this afternoon. So next on the agenda is a consideration of appointee Fred Byers as the election board alternative. Mr. Byers, would you come join us at the table, please? Come on up. And we have these really keen microphones that you have to talk directly into or else they don't record. So
yeah.
It's like Price is Right.
Okay.
That'll be $7.49. Okay. So Mr. Byers has been appointed as an alternate to the election board. We have his questionnaire before us. Do you want to, would you like to make some, just give us a little bit of your background and
sure.
your interest in this position?
Okay. I lived in Denver, Colorado for about 50 years. Which is a wonderful place, but it's expensive, it's crowded, and traffic is insane. So I told my wife, you know, whenever we retired, that I wanted to move to a small town. And she said she didn't care where we went as long as we were together. And so my daughter had moved here about 6 months previously. And so when we retired, I bought a house and moved here. And so, you know, we always, you know, kept track of what was going on with the nation and everything. My dad, we were here when I was younger for the dances and stuff. And then when we moved down here, you know, I just wanted to, you know, I want to get more involved in things. I'm retired, so I got time on my hands, and just want to, I thought this was a good way to get involved a little bit and see what I could do to help.
Had you ever lived in Pawhuska before then?
Never had, and in fact, my wife had never been here till the day we moved down here.
She's a kind woman.
I picked out the house, and like I say, my daughter was here, so I had her, she went by and had looked at the house and, you know, said, yeah, I think you'll like this one. And then, so I came down, looked at it, looked at a few others, and then bought it and told my wife, let's pack it up.
And how long have you been here?
It's been, it'll be 2 years tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying to get used to the being retired thing, you know.
Well, we could probably put you to work. Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So your appointment is as an alternate. On the election board. And I think maybe you were here the last election cycle.
Was.
And sometimes regular board members by relationship to candidates have to recuse themselves. So you're aware that you might have to step in and really play the full role as an
yeah.
alternate.
Sure, that'd be fine.
And another question I have is sometimes I've found since sitting on Congress that quite possibly board members aren't directed to the places in legislation where they need to review and look and see what your duties and obligations are as a member of the board to which they were appointed. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, have you taken a look at our election codes and
yeah,
rules and regulations?
Yeah, they sent them to me in the mail, and I went. Didn't read it word for word, but yeah, I went through it and looked at some of the stuff.
It's so, a test, you know.
Oh, gosh.
So
oh, he said it was going to be a quiz.
Well, my curiosity is you're aware of what the board functions are, what the membership requires,
yeah.
what your role is as an election board member. Mm-hmm. And I do have to say we've always had a very, in my opinion, since I've been with the nation, we've always had a very election board that's on top of what we do, always wanting to improve
yeah.
the election process from
sure.
cycle to cycle to cycle. So they're very active. Also, I'm curious, is it your plan and intention, even though you are an alternate, to attend board meetings
yeah,
regularly?
Yeah, I figured I would just attend everything.
Good deal.
You bet.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all the questions that I have.
Yeah.
For some time, I've been asking us to rethink the idea of having an alternates. Always thought we should just expand the board to five. That way we didn't get into who's an alternate and who's not. I can't remember, do they get compensated if they're alternates? So I've always thought that we, if they're going to be at all the board meetings, and they're going to, which we want them to be, then we ought to just make a bigger board for that. That way, because they can't just have two. So anyway. That's
well, I was told as an alternate, it was more, it was kind of on a voluntary basis. There was no compensation for it, so.
Did you have something, Congressman? Okay, Congresswoman Good Fox?
I would support that because we don't know who's going to be running, and quite frankly, election board members may not know who's going to be running and when they make that final decision. And our alternates are normally they are there. At every single meeting, they're a part of the process just in case they are put into a situation where they have to be on top of everything. So I would support that.
Well, we have room on our agendas. So if you want to get that bill on file, we can consider it. Okay, yes. Congressman Potts?
I was ready to make a movement if the committee desires.
Okay, came all the way down here. Anybody want to ask him? Is he a Broncos fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Broncos, Rockies. I always considered myself what's called a homer. You know, you root for the home team. So.
Does that mean you're a Thunder fan now?
Well, yes. You know, it's, the only time it's tough is when they're playing the Nuggets.
Well, I was wondering how you felt about that. And of course, the Nuggets
I believe
are
in rooting
ahead
for the home
of
team,
right
so.
Now. So
probably going to be in the first round, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All
and, of
right.
course, CU's never, football's not, never has much to root for. So,
Congressman Big Horse.
Yeah, Mr. Byers, you stated that you did live here in Pawhuska in your younger years?
No, we came down here for the dances once in a while. My dad
okay.
was raised down. Yeah.
That wasn't him that was, you know, trunking pumpkins back in the day.
No, my grandmother was from here. You know, she was born in Gray Horse. And so my grandmother was a Rivard. And so... my dad would bring us down here and a few times, and like I say, when we got ready to retire, this is where we landed.
Good.
Right, we like you. It. We love it. You know, my wife likes it. And the fishing's great. And so.
Thank you.
Congressman Potts.
Make a motion to report that candidate Fred Byers is qualified by education and experience, and there are no legal or ethical barriers to service on the Association Election Board as an alternate for a term of 3 years.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 So, Mr. Byers, now the committee process has gone, the motion passes. The committee process for us has gone through, we've gone through this. And then tomorrow I will report you out and ask that you be placed on an agenda. It would be preferable to me if, since you're retired, if you could and live here, if you could come back on the day that we put you on the agenda, maybe first part of next week.
Sure.
Then I'll let you know.
Okay.
Is your phone number on here? Will you write your phone number down and I'll get with the speaker. But that way, if the rest of the Congress members have questions, they can, and say it's the same concept a little bit. They probably won't look at these. They might look at these, but not really ask the same questions. Just give us a little overview of, you know, why you want to be on the election board and
sure.
what you can bring.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Well, thank you very much. I
All
really
right.
appreciate you coming right. over.
Thank
and sorry
well,
we started
you,
a little
Byers.
Late.
Thank you, Mr. Byers.
Thank you to your daughter for holding down the fort back there. All right. So, what you need to know. Our agenda for today kind of blew up after this. So, we have an amended agenda where I've placed the bill that we were considering this morning back on the agenda, and I've put the bills that we have for tomorrow on for today so we could start working on them, but I do think, what time's your meeting? 4?
3:30, I think.
Is it at 3:30? We'll try to stop before then so that some of us can have a little bit of a break before we move on. This is a big day. And tomorrow's a big day too, so maybe. All right, so now we're going back to ONCA 1912, which is an act to establish a fund for home loan and down payment assistance for first-time home buyers to all members of the OSAG Nation to establish an alternate effective date. Yield the chairmanship back to Congressman Big Horse.
Okay, Congressman Edwards, I'm not for sure where we left off.
We were, Congressman Potts, if I recall.
It was the amendments, wasn't it?
Going to write some amendments.
I have the,
and I have one. I have one more. Let me see if I can locate it here. What number are we on right now?
I'll go.
Okay.
Congressman Potts.
Have an amendment, page 2, line 82, in bear with me, this is the language approved by Legislative Council. Page 2, line 82, or what was previously line 82 before amendments, strike and per home.
She wants you to repeat your amendment.
That's not it.
That's the wrong bill.
All right, there we are. Page 2, or what was previously line 82 before amendments, strike and per home.
Second.
Okay. Call some
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This provision in A was previously amended during our last meeting. So I spoke with Legislative Council. In the language of, or what was previously line 82 before amendments, I believe, and per home was remained in the amendment that previously passed. So this amendment would strike it from that amendment. It's amending the amendment after the amendment passed.
Okay. Committee, you heard the amendment and the reason why.
You're fine.
So all those in favor? Signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Mr. Chair, second amendment is page 2, line 78, or what was previously line 78 before previous amendments, strike and per home.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Same strike. All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Those opposed? Amendment passes. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Third amendment is page 2, line 59, insert 7. The applicant must not have had ownership in a principal residence during a 5-year period prior to the date of the purchase of the property.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Initially, we thought first-time home buyer means first time you buy a home and that's it. However, after discussing with Legislative Council, looking up federal definitions that guide similar programs, first-time home buyer is typically governed after a period of time. And federal law, I believe, is 3 years. So we would extend that to 5 years. So if you went 5 years without being the principal or secondary on a primary residence, you would be able to reapply for first-time home buyer assistance.
Tricky little federal laws. Well,
Congresswoman Edwards.
That wasn't the intent of the bill. Of the bill was to be the first time you buy a home that's in your name. So, I mean, that would impact the cost of the program quite a bit. So you're saying if you go without owning a home for 5 years and you buy another home, then you're a first-time home buyer again?
I believe federal law says 3 years, but yes, that is the definition of federal law.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'd like to make a real quick statement. I apologize that neither Ms. Dobbins nor Mr. Freeman are here this afternoon. We thought they were going to be called. when this came back up, but, you know, so I'm sorry that they're not here, but I noticed that the agenda was revised for a 1400 GovOps meeting at 1412, so Ms. Dobbins is a doctor's appointment and Mr. Freeman is sick, so I can't offer any detailed technical assistance with this, but we do have quite a few questions about this this bill. Starting off with where were the numbers? Where did they come from? $2,000, $75,000. Has a fiscal analysis been conducted on this bill? What's the need? Like Mr. Potts was saying, if it's a first-time home buyer, does the definition mean the very first time I buy a home? Because if I buy a home with a GI Bill as a first or the VA loan, the first time I buy the home, I get the VA loan certificate. But when I sell the home, I get the VA loan certificate back. So technically, I'm a first-time home buyer again. So I can buy multiple homes and not really be a first-time home buyer. What's the admin cost? Right now, we've run a pilot program for the state. We've had one applicant within the state. We can reach that applicant with our people. With $2,000, if, you know, say we give somebody in Alaska $2,000 for their down payment assistance, we're going to have to pay someone that we don't know to go inspect the home, go assist with the closing, to do some of the first-time home buyer counseling stuff that we do. That's what we do here. We're going to have to pay somebody. So how much is it going to cost us in admin fees for that $2,000? Now, with other programs like the scholarships or the health benefit card, we have one entity that can do all of those things. In this case, it could be thousands. If we're talking from Maine to the Virgin Islands to Alaska, and, you know, let's not forget those Osages that live in Switzerland or Spain, and because I noticed they're not on the bill. So, again, I can't offer you any technical assistance because I'm not the SME when it comes to this. But I can tell you that we have identified some weaknesses within the bill and some concerns. Leaves it open for fraud. How do I know that it's your only house? I mean, you know, all of these things that we can verify physically here by going down to the county courthouse, by going to the home that you live in. You know, there you have it. That's pretty much all I've got to say.
Congressman Potts.
Withdraw and restate. Page 2, line 59, the applicant must not have had ownership in a principal residence prior to the date of the purchase of the property.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second on the amendment. Any further discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So... just leaves me some concern about the way our culture and society ever shifts so quickly. What if we have a Osage mother that was married to a non-Osage and by chance she got divorced? To me, this prohibits her from being considered a first-time home buyer to get into a home to house her family. I get what you're doing. I understand there has to be some limitations on this, but also there has to be some exceptions too, I think. So I don't know if this right now, I don't have any replacement language for that.
But that's just a consideration that I'd like to explore quite possibly within the language of this law, because I think it happens, and I don't want to exclude somebody that would benefit by the use of this down payment assistance.
So,
Congresswoman Edwards.
So your concern is if they were joint owners of a property and got divorced or someone became widowed, or that they would be ineligible because they had ownership in the house. I mean,
yes.
And I think I talked to you about this and said, well, the goal is to get you started the first time. And after that, with all due respect, you hope that you've made a purchase that will result in appreciation of the house. If you get divorced or you sell the house or whatever, you hope that you've made some sort of profit that you can then go and take towards the next house. I don't know that we can always think of the what ifs. If you have some language that somehow would, I don't know how to work around that, because, like I said, the idea is that you will make a good investment, and that investment will increase in value, and that when you go to sell that house, that you don't need that assistance anymore because you've realized more than $3,000 worth of equity, and you have that equity to go put down on another house.
Before I recognize you, Congressman Potts, I have a couple of questions. Congresswoman Whitehorn covered one with the divorce issue, and then there were some issues brought up. Have you taken a look at their policy and procedure up there on their closing process, and are we going to be out money if someone purchases a home in Alaska? And
I mean,
is the appraisal process, is it covered in here? I mean, I'm all for this. I am. I just want to get it right.
Well, that's why it's got rules and regulations in here, which are where you would address that. The fact of the matter is, you can close on a house today without ever having counseling, without seeing somebody. You can look on the public records by looking online. It's actually not a difficult process to buy a house these
correct,
days.
Correct. And you being an attorney and being very astute, you can do that. But I think the tribe probably has a program that helps guide first-time buyers through something like that. And I think that's what we're talking about is a first-time home buyers program. And those experts from that office aren't here.
Well, they were here, and we've talked to them, and they were here the other day when we had the meeting. So they brought us their policy.
It's a continuing dialogue, I hope.
I am sure. But what was just brought up here was actually talked about. A lot of that was talked about the other day. I don't personally have concerns that because someone from the Osage Nation is not physically looking at a house, that somehow that invites fraud. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that there are safeguards in place. Typically, when you're a first-time home buyer, you're going to take a mortgage out, and you're going to have a requirement for an inspection. I can't think of any type of home that you can buy absent paying cash only deal that if you've got a loan, you don't have an inspection requirement, and that's part of the deal, and it's not done by, it's done through your process of closing on a house. So those concerns, I think, can be overcome, and I think they also can be addressed in the rules and regulations. This is tribal money for a tribal program that was set up exclusively for people on the reservation, and I think it's time to move that out, and I think they fully are capable of figuring out how to make it work. If they want to have an online tutorial, if they want to have a conference call, I mean, there's all sorts of ways to assist first-time home buyers that might not be in the immediate geographic area. So I think they can do that, and I don't have any doubt that they can. So I'm not worried about it at all. I think they're going to figure it out.
Okay. Congressman Potts, and then I think Assistant Chief had his hand up.
Yield.
Assistant Chief?
Thank you. Our concerns are very similar to those expressed by the Director of Operations. My other concern is that, generally speaking, when a committee minutes come out, we can at least see the amendments from the previous meeting, and I would ask, have those minutes been printed? I seriously doubt they have been.
No, they seriously have, and that was discussed this morning. I mean, that was discussed just a minute ago, that they have been printed out.
From
this morning.
From this morning.
Yeah, and the previous.
And there's been additional amendments made now, right?
Okay. We're working on the bill.
We would request the opportunity to review the bill. It's obviously much changed. Is that fair? Since 10 o'clock this morning, so that we can intelligently comment on it. That's, of course, the will of the committee. But we would make that request formally. Thank you.
Can we just keep on making our amendments?
I can recess until executives are ready, if that's cool.
Let me recognize Mr. Johnson, and then I'll recognize you.
Yes, sir. I understand what Congresswoman Edwards was saying, but when I go out there and do that right now, that's with my money. We're just trying to be responsible with the people's money. So that's all we're saying.
Congressman Potts.
Withdraw and restate the amendment. I understand. So I'll restate the amendment, page 2, line 59. Right here, it would be inserting a new section. The applicant must not have previously received down payment assistance from the Osage Nation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Discussion.
This is to clarify some of the language. If the individual was Osage, had previously obtained down payment assistance, they would have the equity built up in the home that would negate the need for them to apply for down payment assistance again. So this is...
And if they had, and if they were on a home, but they hadn't gotten the assistance, somebody else on the house had gotten the assistance, then they still have the opportunity to get the assistance, right?
I believe so.
I'm good.
What's your pleasure?
Vote on the amendment.
Okay. Madam Clerk, could you restate the, or Congressman?
Sorry. I had it written down this time. Okay. Apparently my handwriting's bad. Page 2, line 59, insert. Number 7, the applicant must not have previously received a down payment assistance from the Osage Nation.
Write it for her so
yes.
She can.
Okay, we had a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Does anybody else have any amendments?
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I don't have an amendment, just a question on page 2, letter D. I think Mr. Johnson just brought this up, but it says no administrative expenses may be withdrawn from the fund except those paid to third parties who assist in administration. Such payment is limited to 5% of the amount of the assistant paid out to the applicants annually. Now, is that total number of applicants, or would that be per purchase, per assistance, the 5% amount?
Well, it was supposed to be in total, but I guess we could change it if we wanted to. You know, again, do we need, when you've already got an inspection going on, I guess we could change it to We might need a little bit more than 5% if we're going to use 3,500. We might use 10%, so that it's like $350. But, I mean, we can rely. I'm again trying to think of how many instances someone buys a house that fits in these categories of income and is a first-time home buyer that's not getting a mortgage. And if you're getting a mortgage, I'm going to suggest to you that you're getting an inspection. You're probably also getting purchase mortgage insurance. So I just, somebody else can mention that, I mean, my first time home buying experience was a long time ago. Somebody else that maybe has more recently first time purchased a home, I'm just not recalling a situation where you don't have an inspection on the house, which is included in the closing costs. So, I mean, it would already be counted as part of the, who pays for the inspection? It's the buyer, right? Within so many days of contracting on the house. Then you do a final walkthrough.
Correct.
So I'm not thinking of a situation where that's not already included. I don't know what other, I guess we could ask Mr. Johnson if he knows what other administrative expenses might come about outside of the program, but we already pay for that. So like what other third-party expenses might the department have that you can think of?
Well, and again,
Mr. Johnson.
Again, that's for, you know, I'm not the expert in the field. Joe and Joe Freeman and Amy Dobbins are.
I'm not planning on moving this today. We'll have one more time, so.
Well, they can answer those questions better than I can.
Okay. All right. Well, they were here
that's
the other
all I'm
day.
Saying.
I don't remember them mentioning
this morning.
And this morning. I don't remember them. But anyway, okay, that's a good point. So why don't we put that on the list? I'll put that on the list of seeing if we need to do any work with that. Anything else after that?
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Those are my only questions I had marked in the bill. I think that we've done some pretty good work to it. And I, like Mr. Johnson suggests, think that we need to speak to the program administrators, their administrative cost. They're currently doing this. This just gives it form and legal, gives them law to operate under.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know that it's going to work for them because this is for the benefit of our membership.
Hopefully, yeah.
Right, so.
And I've also given that packet to the budget analyst and asked her to make some inquiry how many applicants were not able to be to receive the assistance. What, based on historical numbers, what we think the outcome is going to be. So I'm going to get a fiscal analysis. So with that, I would ask that we move that we postpone this. We do have minutes, and we can try to, I mean, we haven't in the past drawn up the bill without getting the committee, without passing it out that I can think of. Have we? Have we ever?
I don't think so.
Put amendments into a bill for the executive branch? They can follow it through the minutes. Okay. Move to postpone to the call of the chair.
Second.
Motion and a second to postpone. All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed?
All right. Let's go back to the minutes so we can get those done. Thank you, Mr. Big Horse, Congressman Big Horse. And then I think we'll adjourn for the day. So let's go back and look at the minutes. Did you print out a new set?
Yeah, I accidentally printed out yesterday.
Do you wanna go get those? Oh, I'm marked on this one.
So is this it right here?
I thought you said I have new minutes if you want me to pass them out. That's okay. Thank you. So there's a little SB after extension on page one. I think that was just your probably own personal note. Reports, so you could probably put that down on the next page, so that's a heading at the top of the page. So typically you like the minutes to reflect who from the executive branch is at the, is that how you do it?
I'd like for my minutes to reflect who is here for consideration of the bills.
Okay.
I wouldn't just arbitrarily put members that were just here interested in listening.
Right.
If they represent
okay.
The executive in any capacity.
What's Amy's last name? Do you know what her title is? Who's our? Okay. Well, so can you include in the minutes that I recognized Amy Dobbins? Representing the housing department, executive branch housing department.
Yes. So I understand that we typically might do that, but I don't necessarily agree that she was addressed. I think that you announced she was in attendance. And then you made a few statements about the bill, and then you told her that it was going to be tabled to a later time, that they would be contacted. So she was never invited to participate or asked any questions or addressed, really. I think that's not quite accurate that she was here, that she represented the bill at the time. So if you want to say she was here, then that's true.
Okay. Amy, the chair recognized Amy Dobbins in attendance representing the executive branch housing department. You okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. And then today in the afternoon, will you show in the minutes that Director of Operations Casey Johnson and Assistant Did the assistant principal chief voice some? Does that count as?
I just let my minutes reflect that they were in the audience.
Okay.
That's not for the purposes that they were here to discuss anything. I just always.
Well, it's good to keep track. I mean, I agree with you at this point that, so show that the assistant principal chief and the director of operations were here this afternoon. Okay. This still doesn't have.
Mr. Zahn. This afternoon.
He was here too?
Yeah.
Okay. Jason's on too. Yes.
I just want to make a note on the record that the clerk needs to include the movement. Is it there? Okay. She include the movement of ONCA 1925.
Who made the motion? She hasn't. I just want to hear.
I think I might have.
Seems like I didn't let you.
It's true, I made no motions this morning.
Maria and seconded by Angela, right? Congressman Pratt.
For what?
The bill.
Of this bill?
No, the
1925 this morning.
Oh, right.
All right. Okay, so let's make sure that can you look at the amendments? Let's look at the amendments that you have for today. And let's look at the pages. So the first one should be page 2, line 48.
What's the bill?
1912.
No,
these are the minutes. I'm reading the minutes to make sure we've got the. It's okay.
C148.
look at the sheet that was filed in, and let's make sure that's right.
I'm unclear what we're doing.
We're making sure that the minutes accurately reflect the amendments so that, because there's a lot of amendments to this bill, so that when it gets engrossed, it's not a committee substitute.
So you're talking about the meeting this morning?
Right, these are this morning's minutes.
Okay.
On page 3, I believe.
Hold on, let's.
Sorry.
After trust, insert or restricted status. Is that right? Okay. And the next one, throughout the bill, strike at large. Page 2, line 54, strike the first or. Insert after children or parents. Okay. Page 1, line 37 and 38, strike of less than $75,000 and insert of not more than 150%. Of the then current U.S. Housing and Urban Development HUD published median family income MFI limits for families of 1 to 8 or more persons. Congressman Potts, page 3, lines 96 and 97. Strike those lines and insert this bill shall be effective as of
October 1st, 2019. It was October 1.
He read it in as October 1.
We discussed going to July 15th, but we didn't.
Congressman Potts, do you want to rewrite that so you can read it? Because I'm telling you, Rules and Ethics is not going to be thrilled.
I can do that.
Okay, I don't need to be smarty on the air, do I?
Okay, page 2, line 76. Strike 3% of the purchase price of the home, or $2,000, whichever is less, and insert up to $3,500 per applicant per home. And then strike 2,000 and insert 3,500. Are those right?
Page 2, line 81.
I think she's back on.
Oh, you're back up. Okay.
Strike 3% of the purchase price of the home, or $2,000, whichever is less, and insert up to $3,500 per applicant per home. Okay. And then the last one's page 2, line 81, strike 2,000 and insert 3,500. Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of April 9th at 10:44 as amended.
Second.
Well, I need a motion first.
I'm so moved.
Motion by Congresswoman Whitehorn, second by Congressman Big Horse. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I think everybody ready to
move
quit
to
for
adjourn.
Today. A motion. Is there a second?
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Right. We're adjourned.
I got it.